Thank you for listening and tuning in to the Pulse of the Cowboys. I'm your host, Uncle Boots, and today we will be talking about the 2021 NFL Draft, how it pertains to the Dallas Cowboys and other teams. First, let me give a special thanks to my supporters and diehard nation as well for going over the tape, having these battles and discussions, going back and forth, making us callous and helping me be able to deliver to you some top-notch information about the draft and some of my points of view. So with that being said, the Cowboys had the 10th pick in the draft. That's the result of playing 6-10 football last year, most of the season without Dak Prescott, who signed a $66 million NFL record guaranteed contract. So now that we have him out of the way and signed, we don't have to get involved in the quarterback carousel that sits in front of this draft that you will start to see and hear about picks 1, 2, 3, possibly 4, possibly 8, possibly 9, and just talking about the top 10. So some of these teams will be, and we'll get into that a little bit later on, as they'll be trying to assess where these quarterbacks are going to fall into play and what players they will push down to us. You have to realize a couple things. Not everybody's a football draft nut. They don't sit around watching film like Die Hard Nation, me and my crew, as we sit around and break this film down for you and just get information. Nothing to me is worse than not having information on a player that you drafted. And, you know, we don't do this 24/7, so there are going to be players, especially in the later rounds, that we're not going to be familiar with. There's not a lot of data out there, not a lot of information because of COVID-19. There's not a lot of information that you're getting from teams because they haven't been able to have the hands-on that you normally have for the NFL draft and during the combine with no combine and during some of these workouts. The teams weren't able to do that. So a lot of the information that we have is up to date, current, as much as we can get. But we're going to have to take a look at this NFC East because it was bad last year. The Washington Redskins, champions of the NFC East last year in the worst division of football last year. We're not going to get upset that these teams are going to get better because they are going to get better. You know, we're going to pick a player, the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles and the Giants and the Redskins. They're all going to pick a good player because we were just that bad, especially the Eagles, Giants right behind us. They're going to be picking good players. So don't look at it like, oh, they got a good guy, because that's what happened. We all played bad last year. So we're going to be drafting inside the top 10 sans the Washington football team. So going forward with that, you know, let's get into to what our needs are. So the NFC East was so bad last year that we were afforded the opportunity to be able to pick 10. We also have pick 44, 75, 99, 115, 138, 179, 192, 227, and 238. So we got a couple picks in the third round. We got a couple picks in the fourth round. And we got two picks in the sixth round as well. So, and if you look at the way the numbers are staggered, it looks like we'll always be within, like we're always going to be drafting. Like there's not a whole lot of time in between picks with those numbers that I just kind of spit out there. The focus on this right now is to draft starters. And the reason why I start with this is because when we're trying to figure out how to draft and who we're going to draft with our first pick, second pick, et cetera, the first and foremost thing that I believe you should do in a draft is draft a starter. And we have a couple spots that I believe, some of them are debatable, but I believe you can upgrade these positions with an NFL draft starter, whether it's cornerback, defensive back, linebacker, defensive end, right side, possibly the defensive tackle position, and possibly the safety. I believe those positions we could draft in this draft within the first two rounds and grab a starter. That I do believe. You know, so it's not uncommon to hear we're in the cornerback business, right? We're looking, you hear everybody saying Patrick Surtain, or you're hearing J.C. Horn. So The issue I have with this whole assessment of the quarterback class is I watched a whole lot of tape on Patrick Surtain because he was the most rumored Cowboy projected pick. And I just didn't see the player that everyone else saw. I didn't see a lockdown corner in Patrick Surtain. I didn't see a guy who's going to shut down and play good man coverage and also play good zone coverage. So what I saw a guy was who plays off the ball and struggles with crossing routes, any quick twitch movements at the line of scrimmage. He seemed to struggle with that. He's very long. Patrick Surtain is very long. He definitely passes the eyeball test. 6'2", 205, 208 pounds, long. And yes, we all know his father played for the Miami Dolphins for a few years, bounced around the league a little bit after that, played with a couple other teams after that, but was one of the best corners in football for most of his career. But we have a cornerback need that, and knowing that, one of those guys are going to be picked. J.C. Horn, son of Joe Horn, wide receiver for the Saints. J.C. Horn is looked at as a better prospect because he was allowed to play man coverage. Now, rewinding back a little bit, Cowboys, Dan Quinn has come over and he's going to take control of our defense as our defensive coordinator and implement the cover three defense, which is going to, for me, I don't understand. It causes conflict for me because if you're going to have a cover three defense, then you're drafting a specific corner who plays good in zone. My question is, like, I want to draft a dog. Like, I want a dude who can come in and play in any defense. I don't want a scheme specific corner. I don't want a guy that because we don't have a coaching specific defensive coordinator. Like, we don't have a long term guaranteed defensive coordinator, I should say. So, we fired two in the last 3 years. So we're on our third defensive coordinator. So one guy wants to run cover zero, or cover one, or man under, and another guy wants to run Tampa two, and another guy wants to run cover three. Well, if you're telling me you're drafting a zone-specific corner who'd be great in the cover three, what happens if Dan Quinn doesn't make it past this year in Dallas? And then what do you do with a new coach that comes in and says, we're going to run a lot of press man? So those are little things that are bothering me. I understand the potential of Patrick Surtain. Me personally, I would love for this team to take a linebacker like Micah Parsons. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that because some folks are looking at the now. But I do think you have to, when you make these picks, you have to look ahead too. You know, you got Leighton Vander Esch, who's going to be up on his contract, or you'll have to sign him to a fifth-year contract, which I'm not sure the Cowboys have enough information on his health and on his play that he's going to be a fifth-year contract guy. If you don't sign him on a fifth year, then he's a free agent and anybody can sign him, including Dallas, but anybody can sign him. So, and then you have Jalen Smith, which if you're a Cowboy fan who has a little bit of an eye for the game, you know that Jalen Smith just hasn't been a good linebacker. I mean, he hasn't been an impact player, right? We understand he had the injury. Maybe he's a little bit of a shell of what he was supposed to be until he had the injury at Notre Dame. I think Micah Parsons comes right in here and turns your defense into a very, very, very respectable unit. He's a dog. I want dogs on the defense. That's what he is, right? So I think he changes the attitude. I think he changes the mentality. He's a hard hitter. He's big. He covers, he runs. I just think that I would rather take a guy like that because I think that a sensational linebacker to me is better than a sensational corner. I'll take him any day. He can have 15 tackles in a game, you know, and he could really, this guy can pressure the quarterback as well. He's just disruptive. So that's just my opinion. Would I be happy with a defensive back? Yes. I wouldn't mind taking a defensive back in the second round. Syracuse had a couple defensive backs. They had Andre Sisco, and then they had Ifeatu Melifonwu. So with those two players, I would take Okay, the safety, I loved him. He played well. He got hurt. Would have been a top-notch safety coming out. But Melifonwu, I think, can play corner on this team, and I like that combination against any defensive back linebacker combination that anybody's going to come up with. If you're going to tell me we're going to get Surtain and get a linebacker in the second round, Nick Bolton from Missouri, if that's the mentality that you want to come in with, I'll still take Micah first. Give me Melifonwu on a second, and he's still sick. You're still looking at a 6'2", 195-pound corner, long. Plays physical, plays man, crossing routes. He plays everything. He's a very, very good hitter. He can blitz. That's the kind of combo that I want. But I'll play the game with the media consensus. Most likely this pick is going to be Joe Horn. It's going to be Joe Horn. Yes, if Horn's gone, Surtain will probably be the pick. It's going to be one or two. I don't know how the Cowboys will look at it. I just think it's unless Surtain has this upside that catches the world by storm, I just didn't see that type of player in college. I watched Tennessee, Michigan. I watched so many of these games, LSU. I watched so many of these games, and there were guys just wide open, guys that beat him down the field. And no, he don't have a lot of bad tape. Right, no one went out there and just trashed this kid week in and week out. But what I'm saying is, there, you know, in some of these games, either the quarterback didn't find him, he pass interfered, the ball was overthrown. You know, I understand it's football, that happens, but I didn't see a shutdown, lockdown corner. So now you're looking at J.C. Horn. He has the potential to play in any system. I think he runs well. He runs according to the tape. I didn't think Surtain ran according to what the tape said. They said he ran a 4.4. I didn't see a 4.4 athlete out there. You know, when you watch J.C. Horn, he looks the part. A lot more physical. Definitely is a concern with pass interference calls because he doesn't let go of the receiver. That's something that will – it can destroy you if you don't fix that. But – oh, no, I think that's something that is fixable. He's just a physical dude. So either way, the Cowboys aren't going to go wrong with a cornerback. I wish they would show me a different path and show me that they had a whole different plan and grab that linebacker from Penn State. That's what I really wish would happen. But you could also look at defensive end, that the right defensive end with Randy Gregory, who's probably, I think he's on his final contract this year. Defensive tackles. Neville Gallimore, Tristan Hill, Antoine Woods, nothing there sounds scary. A lot of potential there, but nothing is, you know, you could hopefully find a Barmore, you know, that you could potentially upgrade that position in this draft, which is not a deep defensive tackle draft. But Barmore could come in and, you know, make a case to start. I just don't think that's the route they will go. I think there's a couple character concerns with him as well. So I don't think they would go with Christian Barmore in a trade down. He didn't play enough for me to be a consistent guaranteed player. I know he's got some wrinkles to work out. I know he was hurt for a lot of the year, played through injury, and then ended up playing real strong and just became unblockable in the last couple games, championship games he played in. So I get it. The bowl games he played in, I get it. But I don't know if I would take that pick in the first round. The other position at safety, I think there's a possible opening. Demonte KZ and Keanu Neal were both brought in. They were brought in from the Falcons because our defensive coordinator had success and played with these types of players. And KZ, I could see us being able to upgrade that in the draft. I doubt we would pick a safety first. I wish this team would trade back into the first, the bottom end of the first. That's what I wish they would do. Take pick 44, 75, and get back into the first. Or 44, 75, and 99, which is your second and two-thirds, and get back in the first. I would love that. Have two picks in the first, won't pick again until the fourth round. That's something I could see. I would like that. Because then you can go in there, you can go in and get your linebacker, you can go in and get your corner, and then you can also get your safety. You know, whether you if you like Morg from TCU. The names that have been affiliated with this team mostly these names is Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, Micah Parsons, Trevon Moore, Zaven Collins, Quiddy Pay, like from Michigan. These are the players that you've heard over this long period of time that we've had interest in, or they've had interest in us. And I'm just talking about first round talent. And Barmore, you know, you heard that we might have an interest in that position. But I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the top 10 draft teams, and talk about what could or potentially would happen with some of these teams. So you got Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, we know that. Everybody seems to be 100% convinced that the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU. The 49ers at pick 3, you know, with Mac Jones being, people have sworn that Mac Jones is going to be that pick. So I'm going to say Mac Jones, even though I believe it should be Justin Fields. But if Mac Jones is the pick there, now here's where Diehard Nation and myself and most of the media disagree. At pick 4, Atlanta has Kyle Pitts selected, pretty much a consensus. Now, I know Atlanta has extended Matt Ryan for 2 more years, guaranteed money, right? But they don't have their quarterback of the future. So if they don't take Justin Fields, I don't understand what the organization is trying to do with, you know, in the win-loss column. So they would be set up, even if they have the money on the books, even if they have that money committed to Matt Ryan, I still think that you have to take Justin Fields there. I mean, you start your franchise over again. That Atlanta Falcons team that even my lowly Cowboy team beat last year, that's a bad football team. These next 2 years, they're not winning anything. They're not winning anything with Matt Ryan. I think you restructure that team and start anew. But I've been beating the head that there's no way they could do it because of the money. I've seen teams do way worse with money like that. You have them sit for a year, have them play, injury. All it takes is one injury like that for a kid to be playing all year. Now you're saying, well, thank God we got the kid. It was a smart move. So that's me versus them. But Bengals, they got a choice. They're going to have a choice between Penei Sewell and Ja'Marr Chase. Possibly, depending on what Atlanta does at the quarterback position, Kyle Pitts. But I think they would take Penei Sewell, play him at right tackle, and so be it. You know, they won't have to worry about the blind side, you know, they won't have to worry about the right side, I'm sorry, for their quarterback. You know, Miami comes in, would probably take Ja'Marr Chase because Sewell's off the board, but Sewell would have been a great pick for the Miami Dolphins just because of the fact that he would actually be protecting his quarterback's blind side since Tua's left-handed, and it would just be – it's not even a decision. It's just common sense, you know. So then you look at Detroit at 7, and you would think that Detroit would take a wide receiver. I just texted someone today. They got Cephas, the kid that they drafted from Wisconsin, Tyrell Williams, and Rashad Perriman as their wide receivers. And they brought Jared Goff over there, sending their former quarterback to the Rams. You wonder, you know, you say to yourself, you know, Matt Stafford, you say to yourself, you brought Jared Goff over here to throw to those guys? Quintez Cephas, Tyrell Williams, and Rashad Perriman? That's a perfect spot for Jalen Waddle to go. It'd be a great pick for them. And I know there's going to be some trades in here. So all this mock draft, you know, predictory stuff out the window, because Atlanta could trade that 4th pick and let somebody come up and get a quarterback at 4. And now we're talking, you know, we're talking a whole different ballgame. So then we get to Carolina. Another issue, bump in the road. There's a lot of people who think Justin Fields will be on the board when Carolina picks. And I can't see them passing on him. Now, everyone will say, and they have said, you're an idiot. if Fields is there, they can't. They gave up a 2 and a 4 for Bradford. For Darnold. They give up a 2 and a 4. They just gave it up. There's no way. When you got a player that can revolutionize your team, and basically make over your offense, which I believe he can do that. I've seen enough of Darnold to know that Darnold cannot resurrect the dead. He can't. He can't do it. I don't know that Justin Fields can, but I know what he can do. I know he comes to work every week. I know he's healthy. He's always been healthy. That's been one of the feathers in his cap. I think they would have to take him. But going with the norm in mainstream society, Carolina, they can either take a corner there, Horn, Sertan, or Slater. Denver, same thing. They got to be in the quarterback mix too. They got Drew Locke. They just brought Teddy Bridgewater over there. They can definitely grab a quarterback if he's available. But listen, all of us Cowboy fans that are all excited about getting these corners, they both can be gone. Both corners can be gone at Carolina and Denver. Back to back could be Horn, Sertan. Then Dallas is on the clock. Now what does Dallas do? Try to trade down. Which is rumored. It's coveted because it's a perfect spot if we trade to 15 with the Patriots and allow them to grab a quarterback of their future. Whether it's Mac Jones, one of these guys who are falling, Trey Lance, these guys can go anywhere. Any team that's picking in the top 10 can switch gears at any moment and fill another spot because you're trying to start players. You're trying to fill a roster that you're not just trying to draft a quarterback. Sometimes you got four openings and maybe the opening doesn't look right now. And I take that into consideration with the Carolina Panthers that, maybe the quarterback position, we can fill that in now and then draft a corner later. But there's so many options with these teams in the top 10 because there's so many holes to fill. So that's why this becomes a little bit of it gets a little convoluted. But if both corners are off the board, the good thing about Cowboys is somebody's going to fall or somebody's going to call because you're going to have – if you're telling me both corners are off the board and that means an extra wide receiver, possibly an extra quarterback – or possibly an extra tackle dropped. So is our phone going to start ringing? I'm not sure. It should. You do need your phone to ring, though. Like, people act like, oh, you just trade down. Well, you got to have somebody to trade down with, and there has to be a person there that they want to trade up for. So this is all over the place. Trust me. This is a pot full of everything. It's just a whole bunch of stuff in here. So that's why this draft is so awesome, so great. Every draft is, but that's why it is, because you have no idea what's going to happen. Are the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson? We all feel 100% comfortable that's going to happen. But you have no idea. They could have a change of heart. I remember when we went to the draft, Reggie Bush, Mario Williams. The Texans were taking, they had the first pick in the draft. They were definitely taking Reggie Bush. It was all the way up that day. That day that we were there, that night that day that we got to the draft, at the last second while we were in line, we heard on our phone that there's a possibility that they changed their agreement. That they're now going to take Mario Williams. And that happened within the snap of a finger. It was Reggie Bush, the organization, everybody. It was Reggie Bush, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. And the same thing happened to Alex Smith in 49ers back in that draft. It was going to be Aaron Rodgers to the 49ers the whole time. And coin flip, Smith goes, Rodgers slides, and the rest is history. So some of these guaranteed Zach Wilson, guaranteed. Some of those guarantees aren't guarantees. They're just not. The draft doesn't work that way. People are trying to get up and get their guy, especially in this draft, because We don't have the medical records on some of these guys. We don't have enough medical information that you normally would have. So all those later round picks, guys are going to be trying to trade up and have less picks but early picks. That's what I want Dallas to do. Don't be worrying about them fifth and sixth round picks this year. If you got to take a seventh next year, get rid of it then and take it. If you got to take one pick lower, get rid of it or package it and trade up. Because those players, no one knows who they are. Once we start getting to this fifth and sixth round, you're not going to know. They're there and you're not going to know why. Is the knee healed or not? Is your ACL still torn or no? Is it hemorrhaging? Is it healing? Is there a bacteria infection? You're not going to have all this information. Did you play last year? Did you play the year? Oh, you were injured the year before, and then you didn't play last year because of COVID. So you ain't played in 3 years. And we're on the clock. So these are conversations that teams are going to have. Walker Little from Stanford, the offensive tackle. You're going to have conversations. Is this guy healthy? Can he walk? You haven't seen him. But then you're going to have to pick him. So that's why I want these guys early. A lot of these early guys, we have numbers on. We have information on some of them. I just want to see it. We got to get this right. This pick has to get the first pick. This has got to be right. The Cowboys have done a great job with Will McClay and their scouting department. They've done a great job drafting in the first round the last few years. But they got to get this right because this team has talent to go deep as long as their quarterback is upright. They have talent to go deep this year. If Dak would have played last year, even though we were 2-3 when he went down, they would have started playing better and got better down the season. Offensively, they were ready to roll. The defense did. The defense did play better. We just needed a quarterback who could get first downs, and we would have won some of those games last year. Now you wouldn't be sitting here talking about drafting Horn or Sertan. You'd be talking about drafting in the 20s with the Redskins. That's their consolation for winning the division next year. They're just as bad as we are, but they're picking at 20 and we're picking at 10, or they're picking at what is it? 19, 20, and we're picking at 10. So let's see what the medical says about some of these other quarterbacks as well, because I think what's going to happen is teams are going to start flooding to get back into the first round or flooding the trade to get up to grab some of these other quarterbacks that nobody's talking about, like Mond from Texas A&M, like Davis Mills, the kid from Stanford, a quarterback from Florida. All these quarterbacks teams are going to say, can we win with this guy? Is this guy going to be better than Sam Howell next year coming out? Or De'Eric King from Miami that's coming out next year? So you're going to have to make that decision now. And I'm sure these guys have done as much work as they could. I just want a stud, and we got an opportunity to get one. I don't want to be trading up. I'll trade back with my first round pick. But second round, I have no problem getting back in the first. If we come out of there, let's say you come out of there with, let's say it is Sertan. You come out of there with Sertan and Trayvon Mooring. Now you got your secondary for the future sealed. Sealed. So I'm going to shut it down. I know I said a whole bunch of everything, but I was trying to get it in real quick. I definitely will do another one maybe tonight or tomorrow to reassess what went on in the draft and some of the biggest moments. Obviously, you can tell I'm excited. I'm crazy. I got a whole bunch of stuff here, and I'm just, like, excited. I can't wait. That's what the study's for. We did all the study, try to figure out these first few rounds. Yeah, I didn't study every single player in the draft, but I studied a lot of guys that I thought might have a chance to become Cowboys, rumored guys. And so this is a great, great opportunity, especially all my boys at Die Hard Nation, all my supporters, all the people that press click and listen. I appreciate every single one of you. Let's get this Die Hard Nation going. Let's get Cowboys, Eagles, Jets, Dolphins, Buffalo, Lions. Let's get these guys in here. Let's go, man. Let's go. Giants, all of you. You can also hit me up on Twitter at @Jerry_Holman, or just look for Uncle Boots with a Z. You can hit me up there. But have fun tonight, man. Have fun. Be prepared. Have fun. And root for your organization, man, to make a good pick. I'm out of here, man.